United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Johnson?
Here.
Mr. Loughlin?
Here.
Mrs. Buffy?
Here.
Mrs. McRoberts? Mrs. Peel?
Here.
Mr. Sutton?
Here.
Mrs. Desai?
General Administration, report number 8.
This is the Board of Education acceptance of the recommendations of the Committee on Special Education, Committee on Preschool Special Education, and the 504 Committee for meetings held on October 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th, 21st, 22nd, 23rd, 27th, 28th, 29th, 30th of 2025. And having the recommendation of the Committee on Special Education, the Committee on Preschool Special Education, the 504 Committee, the Board of Education of the Augsburg City School District does hereby accept the recommendations as presented on the 17th day of November 2025.
Is there a recommended action?
So moved.
Please call the roll.
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Wallone?
Aye.
Mr. Loughlin?
Aye.
Mrs. Luckett?
Aye.
Mrs. Peel?
Aye.
Mr. Sutton?
Aye.
I'll entertain a motion for approval of the canvas of the vote and the regular meeting minutes of the meeting held on October 22nd, 2025.
So moved.
Second. Please call the roll.
Mr. Wallone?
Aye.
Mr. Loughlin?
Aye.
Mrs. Luckett?
Aye.
Mrs. Peel?
Aye.
Mr. Sutton?
Aye.
Mr. Johnson?
Aye. Mr. Kendall, are there any letters or communications to the board?
I have none this evening.
Comments relative to the agenda? Report number 1.
This is a presentation on a student field trip to the Galapagos and Machu Picchu. So at certain times over the last couple of years, we've offered students access to trips, one to Spain 1 year. I believe we went to Costa Rica last year. And so this is just another opportunity that Mrs. Beldeck has brought to us for students to participate in. And this wouldn't go off until the summer of 2028. So we'd do some fundraising for the next 3 years leading up to that. World Strides, I will give them credit. They're the company we work with all the time when we travel. They do our 8th grade and 9th grade trip to Washington. They're great to work with. They offer payment plans. Like right now, kids can sign up for this trip. And parents can pay over the next 3 years $185 a month, making it much more economical for them to manage. So Mrs. Beldeck is here this evening should you have any specific questions, but this is really going to be an opportunity for kids to see some marine biology type stuff, never knowing if we're going to spark some interest into that career field, and a really great opportunity to see a part of the world that one is cheap enough to do so in this way and supervised and managed with an experienced group to tour with. So we've had great success. I mean, we were in, oddly enough, we were in France the year that Notre Dame was burning. So they were part of history there. Hopefully none of that history they were part of. But our students have been given some good opportunity. This is just one more opportunity for our students, as well as family members can go. Adults can go, too. We've had that in the past as well. So Mrs. Beldeck is here. Should you have any specific questions in terms of the itinerary? But I shared it. Sure.
I have a quick question. I know we've got 3 years to do fundraising.
Sure.
But what happens if you have a family that just can't afford it? Can we help put in? Or how does that work? I know there's families that would love to go that just can't because of financial.
Yeah, we wouldn't be able to use our budget to offset any of that, but there are community organizations. I know the Moose, who's been great in these types of situations, have donated in the past. So it's not unheard of to see if we can get some support for that family to get there. But with 3 years of prep time and what we see is a pretty fair payment plan for families to take on. It's much more doable for many families. But
so what students will be offered this opportunity?
What grade levels?
7, 8, 9.
7, 8, 9.
Yep. So
I
younger.
I would love the 10th graders to have that opportunity, but they would be graduating. We would go June 27th, like the day of graduation or something. Yeah. Very close together.
It's our current 7th, 8th, and 9th graders that would end up going as 10th, 11th, and 12th graders. So.
Is there a limit on the number? I mean,
nope.
No. And you'll have fundraisers leading up to it.
Yep.
And for those who really participate.
We could get the whole trip paid for.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah, it's the same thing we do with the Washington, D.C. trip where kids will fundraise, and the money that they actually fundraise goes to them and help offset the cost to it. So whatever they do, the hard work they put in, and the amount of money fundraised over a 3-year period goes towards their cost to the trip. So
I do have a question. I wondered, I know when I was a little bit involved in that at one time, and as far as self-fundraisers, you have to be careful. Am I correct in saying that? Like, you might say a fundraiser for John Smith, you know, come and get a dinner, you know. Is that changed, or is that something they really can't do? It has to be for the group.
They would do a group fundraiser, but the work that the child puts in of raising their portion of it is what they get. So we couldn't have John Smith say, hey, come donate money for me and buy a meal. Can't do that. It's got to be school sanctioned, school sponsored. Like the Washington, D.C. trip just did pizza sales through True North. That is a district, or I should say a building-specific fundraiser that each kid participates in. What they raise, they get. So.
Good.
That way we don't have 15 different fundraisers going on at once.
Because
we manage that, too.
That did happen.
Yep, it did. It certainly did. And we've gotten a really good handle on all of those fundraisers. And Cindy Tuttle is our district-level approver, so that way we're not overlapping fundraisers throughout the year, and not everybody is doing the same thing. So if the 10th graders are selling candles or chocolate, no other class is doing that either at the same time.
That's a wonderful trip, Lisa. They'll see wildlife you would never see anywhere else.
It's going to be awesome.
Yes.
So we're good to go on that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks,
much.
Mrs. Beldock. You don't have to stick around for the whole meeting, dear. Unless you want to. Unless you want to.
I've been here all day.
Have a good night.
Thank you.
Report number two.
So I wanted to give the board a heads up that we're in the early stages of this. I mean, very early. We've met with them twice now. But the North Star Health Alliance, which is Carthage Area Hospital, Claxton, and I'm going to forget one. I don't know, but I'm going to forget one. So it might be Rochester. So they've offered up this. This would be the third school-based health clinic that they offer up. I think they're currently in Carthage, and there's one other, but I'll get to that as well. But they would house a clinic here at OFA, and it's just for OFA students, 7 through 12, where this clinic could do diagnosis of, it'd have a nurse practitioner and a nurse on staff Monday through Friday when school's in session. No charge to the district, no cost to the district. They just run the health insurance through the child's health insurance, just like they're a doctor's office, and that's where their payments come from. They do diagnosis and treatment of acute illnesses like strep throat. They'll do strep tests, flu tests, so the kids don't have to go home and go into a doctor's appointment or an urgent care. They can do it right here. They'll run the test right here. In-house laboratory urinalysis, things like that, that they might need in order to conduct to find out if the kid might have a urinary tract infection. Primary care, so the child well visit can be done here. Vaccinations can be done here. Health physicals will be able to be done here through our sports physicals. And also, they can prescribe medicine to the parent if the child needs an antibiotic. All right here, all within the school building, Monday through Friday, or I should say when school's open. And, you know, we're already in the talks of where we would place it and where they would be, but they'd have technically it'd be a nurse in the office that would check kids in, and then a nurse practitioner that would be here seeing kids on a daily basis. So, great opportunity. So we're in the early stages of it. But I'll come with them the next time. I want them to come and present what they envision this as being. I've given you just a few details for it, but great opportunity for our families.
Would a parent have to be with the child?
No.
No.
Which is why we do the 7 through 12.
Okay.
If we are in an elementary setting, it would be very different. But with 7 through 12, the parent does not have to be here. Parent can be if they want to come over while their child's being tested. But, you know, those situations where the child says, I've got a sore throat, I'm not feeling well, we can run all the tests here for parent so that way they don't have to go and get an appointment, get to the urgent care, leave work. They won't have to leave work for it. So just a great opportunity for our families.
And I imagine they'll call parents.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But this, I just wanted to expose you to it. That's, we're in the early stages of it. We don't think that this will get off the ground. The state has to approve it. Chances of it getting off the ground even for the start of next year is probably slim. So we might be a year and a half down the road.
Okay. Report number three.
This is the co-curricular activities treasurer's report. Again, no action necessary. It's just for your information. The internal claims auditor quarterly report, no action necessary.
Anybody questions or problems there? Report number five.
This is the first read of Augsburg City School District policies number 100, 110.2, 111, 111E, 115, 115R, 120, or sorry, 1120R, 4751, 4765, and 4770. No action, just first read.
Anybody comments or questions? Report number six.
This is the 2024-25 New York State ELA Math Science Assessment results for grades 3 through 8. Mrs. Frank is here this evening just to give a brief overview of our results from last year. Might not even need it.
The mic's not working, so hopefully I'm loud enough. There we go. Okay. So you have a copy of my slide deck in your packet, so you'll be able to kind of follow along because I realize that's at a distance and the font might be small. So I'm just going to share with you. Not too far. There we go. So that first chart shows with you for each of our exams, grade 3 through 8, ELA Math and Science, where the Ogdensburg City School District fell within the 18 component districts in our BOCES. So you can see grade 3, grade 4, we're like pretty high up there, which I think is a testament to some of the shifts that we've made as far as the science of reading and are kind of trickling down. And we're pretty much middle of the pack for everything else. Oops. My remote is insanely sensitive. There we go. So the slide that follows gives you an idea of where we fall in each of those content areas for grades 3 through 8. So for 3 through 8 in ELA, we were 7th out of the 18 component districts in our BOCES. For 3 through 8 math, we were 8th. For science, tested at grades 5 and 8, we are 6th out of the 18 component districts in our BOCES. And then overall, for all of those tested areas, 3 through 8, we rank 6th out of 18, so top third. Okay, so then the pages that follow, I'm not gonna go through each of them because you can kind of peruse them as you see fit. But they all have this same structure. So the first thing that you see is that donut, and that donut is just a visual representation of how many kiddos were tested and then their proficiency levels. So those colors correspond to the proficiency level. So for grade 3 math, for spring 2025 testing, we had 93 total students that were tested. And then that purple tells you the percent not tested, so those would be opt-outs. And then level 1, level 2, level 3, and level 4. So the green shows you the total that were proficient, just to kind of give you an idea. So we're looking for that part of the circle to be bigger than the rest. And then at the bottom of that same chart is just another way of looking at that. So 35.48% of our students were not proficient on grade 3 ELA, but that other side combined, that 17.20 is our number of level 4s, meaning that they were at mastery. And then the part below that would be level 3s in the gray. So that kind of gives you an idea of what the breakdown was. And then to the left, what you see tracks that same exam over 6 years. So that first number, 2019, is what they use at baseline. And then the line that you see tracks the proficiency for grade 3 over time. So there's like a dip in 2021, thank you COVID. But then you can see we've been heading up since that point. So it just kind of gives you a historical perspective on where that grade level tested. It's not following the cohort, but the grade 3 test. And then you have the same thing for, oops, there we go, grade 3 math. Oh my gosh, I don't know why it's...
It's just sensitive.
I know, but one click, there we go. So there's grade 4 ELA. And you have that for every exam. The big takeaway on those charts is if you look at that graph that's on the left, things are in general heading up, right? That's what we want to see, is that line is increasing. So I'll toggle through them. So like same thing, grade 5, right? We have a dip at COVID, but we're headed up with the number of proficient students. Grade 5 science looks a little bit different because that test has only existed for a couple of years. So we have our baseline and then an increase from that. Grade 6 ELA. Oops. There's grade 7. Grade 8. And then same thing for grade 8 science, right? That's a different test, so that's why you don't have the same amount of historical data on that one. I'm just gonna go tap it because it's not, I can't get it to settle on the right slot. So this chart, which is after each of those separate exams in your packet, shows you a proficiency trend over time. So when you look at this, it's showing you each of the assessments that are given, grades 3 through 8 in ELA, math, and science. And then this shows you that same 6-year trend. And the color is what shows you the improvement. So we want to be headed in the yellow to green direction. So like you can see, right, on this side, we've got more oranges and reds. But same thing, if you look at the most recent results, we've got lots of green and yellow, which means that our results are improving. And then what follows that is cohort proficiency. So this will follow that graduating class year. Same idea, it's gonna show you what this class tested as fourth graders, fifth graders, sixth graders, seventh graders, and then eighth graders, which would have been last spring's exams. So you can see how they've changed over time. And same thing, we're looking for more green and yellow than we are red and orange.
And I think it goes without saying, when you look at that cohort, in grade 4 math, in 2021, they started out, we only had 25% proficient. This same group of kids, by the time they got to 8th grade, we've got just shy of 64% proficient in math. So some significant growth on the side of our kids.
And part of that is a new math program. I'll talk about that at the end so that you kind of understand what's driving those changes. But then what follows, you have those for each of our class years. You've got cohort proficiency. So that's 2030, 2031. And you'll see that the younger they get, right, the fewer tested years we've got in here. So that's last year's fifth graders. And then the last piece, so given all of those things, I think the important pieces to talk about, So what are we doing with those numbers, right? What is the plan? So we've done a few things. The first step was our instructional leadership team, which is a grade level coordinator from each grade level, UPK through 6, as well as a coordinator from AIS in both reading and math and special education, sat down and took a look at those results first. And then following that, our early release day that was in October was completely data focused. And so each grade level coordinator had their specific data, copies of the exams. They also had a distractor analysis, which basically is a report that the state can give us using the exam results to show, like, of the answer choices, what are our kids picking? And if it was a question where there was an intentional distractor thrown in, did our kids pick that over the correct answer in any case? So it kind of lets them look at what standards was that question specifically targeting, and then how do we hone in on it for future years? So they did that in grade level teams, and then that also extended, even though this doesn't include Regents results, that activity extended into Regents level courses as well. So all of the Regents level teachers got that same data on their exams and took a look at those pieces. And then those conversations will fuel some curriculum considerations. So it's notable that we're in the second year of implementation of Reveal Math, which I think contributes a lot to those stellar third grade results that you saw, because some of them have had building thinking classrooms as second graders, and now with Reveal alongside that in third, we're seeing some really good results. And then in addition to that, in AIS math and in Resource Room, we're now using Reveal's intervention program in tandem with Reveal in the classroom, which just gives some consistency to when kiddos are being pulled out of class for some extra support. We also, though, need to look at the science curriculum. So with the exam shifting to grade 5 as opposed to grade 4, which it was in the past, the exam is very much not a test of just fifth grade content. It's a test of everything leading up to fifth grade. And so we need to look at that, and we need to think about some consistency across the curriculum that we're using in the primary grades in science. And so that's one of my tasks. And then the same kind of goes for ELA as well. We've made a lot of shifts from the units of study to incorporate the science of reading, but there's some places where we still stand to do some work. So for example, vocabulary is a concern. We need to definitely increase the degree to which our students are reading nonfiction text and are gaining vocabulary because of that, because we've got lots of kiddos that don't always have a ton of real world experience, and we've got to fill those gaps, which will also support those assessment results.
Any questions for Mrs. Frank?
Thank you. Nice report.
Thank you. Thank you.
Business and finance. Report number 7.
This is a 2025-2026 property tax collections. No action necessary. Information and discussion only.
Any questions? Report number 8.
This is a 2026-2027 budget development calendar. They're having the approval of superintendent of schools. The budget development calendar for the 2026-2027 school year is hereby approved by the Board of Education of the Augsburg City School District on the 17th day of November 2025.
Is there a recommended action?
So moved.
Second.
Please call the roll.
Mr. Loeffler?
Aye.
Mrs. Lucky?
Aye.
Mrs. Steele?
Aye.
Mr. Sutton?
Aye.
Mrs. Rizzuto?
Aye.
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Loeffler?
Aye.
Report number 9.
This is a resolution to approve budget transfers. That having the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education of the Augsburg City School District does hereby approve the budget transfers as per the attached request for budgetary transfers on the 17th day of November 2025.
Is there a recommended action?
So moved. Second.
Please call the roll.
Mrs. Lucky?
Aye.
Mrs. Peel?
Aye.
Mr. Sutton?
Aye.
Mrs. Rizzuto?
Aye.
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Malone?
Aye.
Mr. Loeffler?
Aye.
Number 10.
This is a BOCES lease agreement of copier equipment. That having the approval of superintendent of schools, the Board of Education, the Augsburg City School District does hereby authorize the superintendent to sign the contract in order to effect the BOCES lease agreement on the 17th day of November 2025.
Is there a recommended action?
Second.
Ms. Paul,
Aye.
Mrs. Caputo?
Aye.
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Malone?
Aye.
Mr. Lockwood?
Aye.
Mrs. Leffler?
Aye.
I'll entertain a motion to approve the reports B1 through B19 on the consent agenda.
So moved. Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Aye. Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Malone?
Aye.
Mr. Lockwood?
Aye.
Mrs. Leffler?
Aye.
Any other business to be brought before the board? Including comments? Mr. Kendall?
I want to congratulate all of our fall sports teams. Girls varsity soccer just came up one game short, but they had a heck of a season. Our boys varsity soccer team went to the quarterfinals of the New York State tournament. Girls volleyball team also to the New York State tournament. And our current New York State tournament participant, our varsity boys football team, is set to play in the quarterfinals in at Colony High School at noon on Saturday against Glens Falls. So we wish them the best. Our art show is open this evening until 7. That just had its opening tonight. We have a musical, Bye Bye Birdie, that they're still preparing for. And Friday, December 5th at 7 will be the evening performance. And Saturday, the 6th at 1 p.m. will be the matinee. And I will send, just like I do each year, I'll send the board the dates and times of all of our winter concerts as we're approaching the winter holiday concert season. So the next Board of Education meeting is Monday, December 15th, 2025 at 6 p.m. in Cafeteria B.
I'll entertain a motion to adjourn for executive session. All in favor?
Aye.
Adjourn.